lucky stars that you'll stay right where you are. Cause you always find a way back, push your way into my heart, skate right past all the alarms. Oh, I'm not superstitious, but I'm not gone. What? Anything to help me keep me calm for good. Leave my love for you locked in the past. Won't look back. Oh, I'm not superstitious, but I'm not gone. What? You're the type of guy to make a bad deal look good. Leave my love for you locked in the past. Won't look back. I'm not superstitious. Seven stories just for you, cause you're always breaking through. Oh, try to change my mind, but it's over, it's over. Keep dragging me lower and lower and lower. Every time I fall for you, like I always do. I'm not superstitious.
My fellow Americans, I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
This weekend was really one of the most consequential and busy weekends of news for a long time. We had the continued Russian invasion of Ukraine. Vladimir Putin has coyly floated the idea that maybe nukes are in the picture by raising the readiness level of the nuclear deterrent systems. We'll talk about that. And meanwhile, Republicans held their CPAC convention in Orlando, Florida, as if we needed a reminder of the sick and disgusting nature of the right wing movement. And in addition to this, there was a competing convention, AFPAC, adjacent to CPAC geographically, which was openly white nationalist. Marjorie Taylor Greene spoke there. Mitt Romney has called out, quote, moron Republicans like Marjorie Taylor Greene. And so we have so much to cover. And let's get right into it, starting with Russia. The first thing I want to just make sure everybody understands is when, number one, news is breaking so quickly on something like Ukraine, Russia. And number two, when some of the things that break as news later turn out to have been incorrectly reported. So, for example, videos that come out purporting to be from Ukraine and they're actually old videos from Russia that don't actually mean what it seems they mean. We're trying to be careful and report the things for which we have good evidence to avoid confusing anybody and to avoid creating more problems than just informing people. There is now widespread confirmation that Vladimir Putin has put nuclear forces on high alert. Now, what that means is subject to some debate, and we're going to talk about that. But I'm going to make every effort to give you all of the information we know to be true, but no more than that, so that people don't end up confused. The Associated Press reporting, President Putin dramatically escalated east-west tensions by ordering nuclear forces put on high alert Sunday, while Ukraine's embattled leader agreed to talks with Moscow as Putin's troops and tanks drove deeper into the country, closing in around the capital. Citing aggressive statements by NATO and tough financial sanctions, Putin issued a directive to increase the readiness of Russia's nuclear weapons, raising fears that the invasion of Ukraine could lead to nuclear war, whether by design or mistake. The Russian leader is, quote, potentially putting in play forces that, if there's a miscalculation, could make things much, much more dangerous, said a senior U.S. official. Putin's directive came as Russian forces encountered strong resistance from Ukraine defenders. Moscow has so far failed to win full control of Ukraine's airspace, despite advances across the country. Another report from CBS News, Putin puts nuclear forces on alert as fighting in Ukraine continues. The way they characterize it are the move means Putin has ordered Russia's nuclear weapons prepared for increased readiness to launch, raising the threat that tensions could boil over into a nuclear war. So, and in the meantime, by the way, Belarus preparing to join Russian invasion of Ukraine, according to U.S. officials. And of course, we should always have a healthy skepticism of what intelligence agencies tell us on this particular issue. They have been mostly right, despite people saying, oh, we can't believe this. We can't trust this. It can't be trusted. So that's the latest, Belarus preparing to join. So what are we to make of this? Well, first of all, consider the contrast between first saying the sanctions are toothless. We don't care about the sanctions. The sanctions don't affect us. Next, going to, well, we are potentially going to attack U.S. assets as a result of the painful sanctions. Oh, so the sanctions you said don't affect you actually are painful, all the way up to we are going to increase our state of readiness when it comes to our nuclear arsenal as a result of those sanctions. Well, doesn't sound like the sanctions are toothless if that's what you're willing to do. The other aspect of this that I think is important is, like with everything else, we don't know what the point of this is. Is the point to actually get ready to launch nukes? It's hard for me to believe that, because the truth is, if you think you might, quote, need to launch nukes, or you think that you might launch nukes for whatever reason, you're always sort of at a state of readiness. I mean, that's just kind of the reality of how these nations work and how these systems work. So the announcement that you're increasing the state of readiness is less about actually getting ready to launch nukes. You would always be ready to launch nukes if that's what it came to, and to get to that state of readiness quickly. It's more about putting out there that this is, it's using the word nukes. That's really the big thing here. And that's one perspective, that this is mostly meant to be a psychological escalation, a rhetorical escalation rather than a real one. The counterpoint to that is Putin sort of seems like the type of kid that, you know, he poops in the sandbox when it's time to go home because he doesn't want anyone else to be able to play in it either. And that he genuinely, particularly if he is in the altered state that some are describing, might consider using nukes. The next question is, what exactly would he nuke? He wants Ukraine. It doesn't really make sense to nuke Ukraine if you want Ukraine, but he's not rational. This is not a rational guy. And so maybe the point is, use it as a rhetorical deterrent. Use it as something to say, look, I could be crazy. Don't keep fighting back, because I'm nuts and I'm liable to use nukes. We don't know. We really just don't know. And we also don't know how the West would respond if Vladimir Putin actually launched a nuke. It's easy to say, well, it would be a suicidal action by Putin. Okay, yeah, maybe that could be. But what exactly What exactly is the response if Putin launches a nuke? At the same time, there are people who said, I can't see Putin launching a full-scale invasion of Ukraine. And we know those people were wrong. So this is what we know. An increased level of readiness has been put forth. What it actually means, we just don't yet know. The next major piece of news coming out of Russia is the absolute and complete collapse of Russia's ruble, which is the currency, R-U-B-L-E, now worth less than one American cent. Less than one American cent. One of the things that took place over the weekend is that there have been swift bank sanctions placed on Russia. Now, I don't mean that they were swift and that they were rapidly placed. They weren't done swiftly. SWIFT in all caps is an interbank messaging system used to transfer money internationally. Sometimes when we have like an advertiser that's based in a different country, SWIFT codes are used to transfer money back and forth. And over the weekend, it was announced that indeed there are sanctions being placed on Russia's access to the SWIFT system. There was every expectation that indeed the ruble would collapse, and it has collapsed. We're putting up the ruble dollar exchange rate for you. And it looks like it fell off a cliff. I mean, it looks like a mountain with a seemingly vertical ledge, and the value of the ruble has completely and totally collapsed. Now, obviously, the problem is that this affects innocent Russian people who oppose this invasion more than it affects the oligarchs and Putin. The pressure on Putin and oligarchs is going to start to build. It already is building, of course, restricting air travel out of Russia, restricting their assets in other countries, shutting down SWIFT, collapsing the value of their currency. There's no question about it. But it's also really affecting the Russian people. We can already see this over the weekend. There were bank runs and ATM runs all over Russia. We're showing video to our video audience here of people lined up in an ATM to pull money out and the money running out. So it's an unfortunate part of the point of sanctions. Part of the point of sanctions is turn more people against Putin and turn even more people against him when there are already people against him to try to put pressure on him to stop what he's doing. Now, does Putin care about the suffering of the Russian people? It's not clear. It's not clear. And this happened in when there were sanctions for Germany for starting World War One, and it led to German people suffering. And later, Hitler used that to his advantage. But I'm hearing from Russians who oppose the invasion that they understand it's Putin who's doing this to Russia, and they are suffering as a result of what is going on with the ruble. So then it's easy to say, well, go on the street and protest. Many of them are, and then they get arrested. So I think we should not ignore the reality that a lot of what is happening is terrible for the Russian people. Also, there are Ukrainians getting killed. So this isn't the sort of competition about who is most being who is most brutally suffering as a result of this. There's different types of suffering. And of course, most people would say, I'd rather be poor than die, meaning have the ruble be worth nothing in Russia versus potentially get killed in Ukraine. But obviously, this is all much more complicated than that. Now, another comment I received is communal pain often will lead to communal action. And the idea that if the Russian people now all suffer together because of what's going on with the ruble, then what? Then what is the question? Because many of the protesters end up getting arrested. Also not to be ignored is that the Ukrainian currency is suffering as well. We're putting now up on the screen the currency chart of the Ukrainian hryvnia. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Also way down, not as much as the ruble on a percentage basis. So in addition to the bombing happening in Ukraine and the invasion happening in Ukraine, Ukrainian currency also taking a major hit. And we will continue to see whether these negotiations that are reportedly starting between Ukraine and Russia lead anywhere over the next 24 hours. In the meantime, there are now multiple reports, which is why I'm ready to bring it to you. Multiple reports that Russia has bombed kindergartens and orphanages in Ukraine, potentially committing war crimes. There's a report from Ilya Lazovsky, a writer and senior editor for the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, who tweeted, quote, "Reports that a Ukrainian kindergarten used as a shelter was hit. I will not share the images as they are too graphic. Absent an extremely compelling explanation, hard to imagine what it could be, this is a war crime." This was later apparently corroborated by Dmytro Kuleba, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Ukraine, who tweeted, quote, "Today's Russian attacks on kindergartens and orphanages are war crimes and violations of the Rome Statute. Together with the Office of the Attorney General, we are collecting these and other materials, which we will immediately transfer to The Hague. Responsibility is inevitable." Now, we can't dismiss, and the reason I keep saying this is because it has happened already. We can't dismiss the possibility that someone is mistaken here or that this is somehow not as reported. But there are now multiple reports and corroborations, even from Ukrainian state officials, that there have been bombings of kindergartens and orphanages. And of course, you know, all of the bombing is wrong that's going on here. The sovereignty of Ukrainian borders is being violated. This is aggressive action from Putin. All of those things are true. In addition, if indeed there are bombings of kindergartens and orphanages taking place, then it makes it all the more horrifying. And it will likely take, no matter how much longer this all goes on, and it could be 2 days, it could be 2 weeks, it could be 2 months, probably not more than 2 months at this level of escalation would be my guess. No matter how long it takes, much like with the Trump administration, where it will take years to unwind everything that happened, it will likely take a long time to find out everything that has taken place over the last week in Ukraine. Let me know where your mind is on what you expect to see over the next few days here. Find me on Twitter at @dpacman. Let me know. We'll take a quick break. All right. Well, I apologize to everybody who has an allergy to high levels of cringe, but we do have to talk about CPAC over the weekend. We are going to look at some of the wackiest moments from CPAC. We're going to look at the various speakers. We'll look at the interviews that Donald Trump gave before and after his CPAC speech. But we're going to start with Donald Trump's completely deranged, unhinged, yes, febrile. It's the last day of February. So it's I'll move on to a different adjective in March. But for February, these are still going to be described as febrile speeches. Donald Trump, at moments, the crowd was engaged. At moments, the crowd was completely bored, but apparently announcing a 2024 run. By all estimations, Trump is saying he's running in 2024. Take a listen.
They're going to find out the hard way starting on November 8th, and then again, even more so, on November 2024, they will find out like never before. We did it twice, and we'll do it again. We're going to be doing it again.
This seems as though it is Donald Trump announcing that he is running for president in 2024. I know it's not a formal announcement, and a formal announcement would bring with it different sorts of limitations and financial requirements and reporting and things which Trump wants to avoid. But it seems that he's saying he's going to run. Trump kind of bringing out all the hits that we became used to during his presidency. One is those sort of weird, some people call them like neurological glitches. It's where Trump messes up a word and sort of twitches, and it's weird. Let's take a look at one of those. There were a handful.
System to persecute you. It is a persecution.
And again, we don't know what that is. There's a twitch, and he messes up a word and then tries to get back on track. We just don't know what this is. We'll look, and you really have to see it. Let's look at it once more.
System to persecute you. It is a persecution.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know what that is. Another classic from Trump is the sir routines. Stories where Trump uses the word sir are almost always stories that didn't happen.
Sir.
Sir.
Yeah. So here's Trump telling one of his sir stories.
I've had great people come up to me and tell me, sir, may I please ask you a question? Yes, what would you like to know? Sir, how did you take it? How did you take it?
So multiple sirs there, and that story almost certainly didn't happen. Trump shouting out his former doctor, who's now a congressman, and talking about how the doctor got to know every inch of Trump.
A man that knows me almost better than any human being. He knows every inch of me. And he thinks it's actually a very beautiful sight.
So just very weird. I mean, I can't say that that's not funny, but it's just all pretty weird. Donald Trump then seemingly tries to take credit for getting the United States out of Iraq and out of Afghanistan, neither of which happened while Trump was president. I mean, I don't know that it matters to him, but those things didn't happen while he was president.
Remember, though, when so many people in the Democrat Party and during the debates said he's going to get us into the Third World War with Trump. I'm the one that didn't have any wars. I'm the one that got us out of wars. Look at Iraq. Look at Syria. I was the one that brought us way down in Afghanistan. I brought you down to 2,000 soldiers. The easy part was just getting out. I brought it down from 20,000 soldiers to 2,000 soldiers. The easy part was for Biden to just get them out, let the soldiers stay, the remaining soldiers, and take care of everything. It's called Soldiers Out Last. I went to a child.
Yeah. So very, very confusing thing. He says he got us out of Iraq, which he didn't. He did draw down troops in Afghanistan, but then he says he left Biden the easy part. But then Biden should have let him stay, but it was easy to take him out. It's all very, very confused. It doesn't actually make any sense. Trump then again telling one of these stories of where he refers to a Taliban leader as Abdul. Now, for a while, when he would refer to this leader, he would refer to him as Muhammad. So it's not clear Trump knows the guy's name, or maybe he's using Abdul slash Muhammad as a placeholder for it was a Muslim guy. It's not really clear. And he tells a story again. It probably never happened that he showed a picture of the guy's house as a threat to the leader. It's very, very weird.
But I said, Abdul, you're killing our soldiers. You better fucking not kill our soldiers anymore. Because if you do, you will be hit like no country has ever been hit. You will be hit harder than anybody has ever been hit. And he said, Mr. President, but why? He actually called me Your Excellency. I don't know. Do you think he calls Biden Your Excellency? How about you? He goes, but why Your Excellency, Mr. President? Do you send me a picture of my house? And I said, I'd rather not answer that question.
Almost certainly never, ever, ever happened. Trump then tells the lie that, again, Hillary spied on my campaign. Of course, the crowd demands Hillary be locked up.
Now we know that crooked Hillary not only spied on my campaign, she spied on the White House.
Remember, none of that is true. That's not what the Durham report filing said. There's no evidence that that's true, but the crowd doesn't care. So the crowd chanting, lock her up. And of course, remember, Hillary, these are the people of law and order and due process. Hillary Clinton has not even been charged, never mind convicted of any crimes. Locking such a person up is weird. Then a really unusual contrast happened during his riffing part, because Trump does this thing during these speeches where he'll read a little bit of something off the prompter and then he'll riff. And in his riff, he criticized the Supreme Court, which is one third made up of people he selected. And then later off the prompter, he bragged about how he chose conservatives to the court. It's very funny because he doesn't even know that this is a direct contrast. So here he is trying to goad the audience into booing the Supreme Court justice. Justices.
But even our Supreme Court justices, and it's sad to say this,
right,
are afraid to do what has to be done to save our country. They're trying so desperately to be politically correct. and to be loved by all. These are the justices of the United States Supreme Court.
So Trump there criticizing the Supreme Court. And what he means, guys, is they didn't flip the election to him. That's really what he means. But funny, later off the prompter, he brags about how he selected conservatives to the court. Wait, but these are the conservatives you just attacked.
As your president, I kept my promise and chose Supreme Court justices on the list I gave to the country before the 2016 election. I gave a list of great, brilliant, conservative justices.
Right. So they're now taking credit for the great conservative justices. And then lastly, and this is the funniest moment, Trump starts reading his closing. And because Trump struggles to read off of the teleprompter, he pauses at a weird moment where it sounds like he's saying, I'm here today as your president. Trump was actually about to read a list of things he did as president, but the crowd is so weaponized. When Trump says, as your president, they think he's saying, I am now your president, and they go crazy cheering and with a standing ovation. It's beyond parody. This is a sick cult.
In summation and in closing, as your president, I instituted.
Oh, God. You understand what's happening, right? The crowd thinks Trump is saying, in summation, as your president, right? He's saying, I'm here today as your president. And the crowd cheers. Remember, if it's Trump alone doing these things and nobody cares and nobody pays attention, it's one crazy guy. When you have a room full, a movement full of people who love this stuff, it's just a reminder. And that's what CPAC was, of how sick and dangerous and delusional this entire movement is in the United States. That's Trump's speech to CPAC. Let's now look at a little bit of the sort of little press conference that Donald Trump gave. So before giving his completely deranged CPAC speech, Donald Trump actually took some questions, and there were actually some interesting questions asked, and Trump was visibly sweaty, disheveled. He seemed confused by many of the questions, but some of the questions were actually pretty interesting. And this one, this one would almost make you blush if Trump answered it any other way. Trump was asked, as many of you may have heard, the president of Ukraine has stayed in Ukraine and is fighting. He's fighting in Ukraine, trying to repel the Russian invasion. And Trump was asked, if you were in such a situation, would you also stay and fight? And it's like, of course he wouldn't. Of course we would. Trump would be the first guy out. He'd say, please evacuate me. And Trump knows he can't say I would be fighting because no one would believe it. So even he has to kind of hedge. It's pretty interesting. Take a look at this.
Zelensky. And, you know, he's not abandoning his people. He's saying and taking up arms with his countrymen. If you were in a similar situation as president, would you take up arms like Zelensky?
Well, you know, you never know about bravery. Some people think they're brave and they're not brave, and other people don't think of themselves as very brave and they step up. You never know until you get tested.
Even for Trump, it would be too much to say I would be out there with a rifle. Absolutely. And so he has this moment where he knows he can't say that. Nobody would believe that. I think we know the answer. Trump would not be taking up arms like Zelensky. Trump would be either in the bunker or in another country altogether. And listen, it's more likely Trump would give away classified documents if he was in Zelensky's position than he would stay and take up arms and fight anybody. Trump was then asked, and this was pretty interesting, what would you do differently on Ukraine than Biden? Because Trump's saying Biden's doing everything wrong. And Trump says, I guess for security reasons, he doesn't want to tell you what he would do differently.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would do things, but the last thing I want to do is say it right now, because if somebody asks me that is in a position where they can utilize whatever it is I give them, but I certainly wouldn't want to be talking about.
Right. No, it's just not appropriate. And of course, he has no idea of what he would do differently. He says it's Biden's fault, but this is sort of like he's prepared to release his health care plan soon. And he's going to give us the evidence of voter fraud soon. It's all just around the corner. Also, his infrastructure plan. Now later in the interview, and this is kind of in a different moment, Trump is asked about what about this? He actually does answer one thing he would do. And he says he would get Russia out of SWIFT, the SWIFT banking system. which happened hours before this. Trump apparently just didn't know that.
Very, very important question to be asked. What is the one sanction or the two sanctions that have not been implemented to stop Vladimir Putin that you would implement given a Trump presidency?
Right. Sanctions. Now, you have to understand, sanctions are very expensive for our country also. But the one that people are talking about, which is very, very severe, as you know, is SWIFT. And that just really destroys a banking system of a country. It's a very big step, and we'll see whether or not that step is taken. But thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people could die with this, and this could spread to other countries, and it could spread throughout the world. I mean, this could be a world war.
Yes. Okay. So now Trump changing his tune and saying this actually could become a world war. But at the time that he said the one thing that you could look at doing is SWIFT, it had been done, that it happened hours before. Trump apparently didn't know. So those are the Trump interviews. That's the Trump speech. It was wacky. We'll have some of these clips on our Instagram, which you can find at David Pakman Show. And then after the break, we'll look at the non-Trump craziness that happened at CPAC. There are some Republicans, very few, who I still disagree with politically, but they have the recognition and apparently the common sense to see what the conservative right wing Republican movement has been taken over by in the United States and to say these people are morons. One such person who literally used that word is Mitt Romney. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But first, we're going to take a tour through CPAC. CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, was in Orlando, Florida over the weekend. And we already looked at Donald Trump's speech, which was outrageous, completely outrageous and corrosive to democracy in every way. But I want to now just show you that it was not an anomaly or an anomaly. Whatever your preference is on the pronunciation, both are correct, despite me being criticized, no matter which of the two I use. No, but in all seriousness, it was just all completely bonkers. Here is radical Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert saying she has already filed articles of impeachment against Biden, Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi. Is that even true? And if so, like, what are they for? She doesn't say.
Solution that I have put forward. The paperwork's already been filed.
She's filed it already. We haven't heard, I guess, but she's filed it.
I have introduced articles of impeachment to impeach Joe Biden, impeach Kamala Harris, get Nancy Pelosi the heck out of there, and save our country. God bless you all. I'll see you next year.
This is a perfect example of I'm going to say something loudly and people will clap. And the words could be anything, right? I mean, she could have just said, I have just filed for sending the first humans to Jupiter's great eye. And people go, yeah. OK, I mean, it's whatever. It's just the tone. And speaking of tone, this is bizarre. Remember Larry Kudlow, Trump's economic advisor? He couldn't possibly be lower energy. He went up on stage. He's speaking like someone a minute before coming on stage just told him someone had died close to him or something. This is supposed to inspire people. Look at this.
Subpoena free, and I got a new job with Fox Business. Yeah. So I hope you watch our show. It's called Kudlow.
Please watch the show. Please. What? Watch the show. My show's pretty good.
Here's the thing. We have adopted a mantra. I have adopted a mantra for the show, but for everything. And it's called Save America.
Right.
That is what I want to talk to you about today. Save America.
Right. Okay. I don't know who appears more comatose, the audience or Larry Kudlow. Really a bundle of energy, as you can see. Then you may have heard that Papa John, this is John Schnatter. He's the guy from the Papa John's Pizza Company who was very much against Obamacare. He said, you know, if I have to give everybody health care, it's going to sort of cost me like 10 cents a pizza. And he was very, very strongly against it. A conservative thought leader, you might be able to say. He suggests Biden goaded Putin into invading Ukraine in order to distract from the so-called real issues, which is quite a big brain conspiracy theory. Here we go.
Administration, Biden administration, totally incompetent, or they do this intentionally. When you cut off our pipeline and you open up Russia's and you give the guy $750 billion, looks to me like it's pretty intentional. But what a great smokescreen. What a great distraction from all the real issues here that are affecting Americans. So I think it's smokescreen. I think it was intentional.
Yeah, it was intentional to create a smokescreen, says conservative thought leader Papa John, about what's happening geopolitically and foreign relations. Exactly. Then, and this is where, if you thought this was crazy, then it gets really crazy. The Missouri State Attorney General Eric Schmidt says the Constitution would soon be replaced by the Communist Manifesto if Democrats got their way.
They want to replace the Declaration of Independence with a Communist Manifesto.
Right. That's obviously untrue. There are essentially no communists in power in the United States. There are certainly some social Democrats. I guess there's a couple Democratic socialists, although even they seem confused as to whether they're really Democratic socialists, people like Bernie and AOC. I don't know that they're even really Democratic socialists. So why would the Communist Manifesto be put anywhere? It doesn't make sense. CPAC Speaker Charles Herbster, who's a candidate for governor in Nebraska. This is unbelievable. The Republicans over the weekend realized pushing Putin is bad. We got to be pro Ukraine. They don't really care one way or the other. They just want to do what sells. And so now they've started saying Ukraine is the good guy. And so Charles Herbster asks the crowd to kneel and say a prayer for Ukraine. And the camera cuts to the audience and nobody cares. Certainly nobody's kneeling, but it's wild. They just don't care.
I'm going to ask all of you to do a favor, even if it's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You with your spouses here, kneel down and give a prayer for what's taking place in Ukraine.
Right. First of all, so far, it's not clear whether he wants them to pray for the invasion to continue or for it to stop. It's sort of unclear from this so far, but let's keep going.
They need our prayers.
Yeah.
That Zelensky character, he's a hero.
Right. Mild, very muted applause, and certainly nobody praying. A couple of the panels that they had, one of them is Lock Her Up for Real, referring, of course, to Hillary Clinton. This is beyond parody.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Lock Her Up for Real.
Oh, my God. And then here's another very, very hard hitting panel.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Fire Fauci, a series of curated speeches.
Very, very carefully curated. Yeah. And then lastly, here's Todd Starnes, who just openly anti-vax. And this is not against mandates. This is just anti-vax.
And you tell Dr. Fauci to stick those vaccines where the sun don't shine. God bless you all. God bless America. And let's fight Fauci.
Yep. So these are very sick people, but I want to remind you, and here's my kind of last thought on CPAC. They are so good at this. The left doesn't have this type of unity. They don't have the willingness to pour money into events like this and to get everybody together, to get everybody on message. The messages are idiotic. Fire Fauci. Lock up Hillary, who hasn't been charged with any crime. All the messages could not be more absurd and destructive, but they are so good at organizing in this way, and the left is not. Now, one of the side stories at CPAC is that MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell had a complete and total meltdown in the exhibit hall. Robert Costa is a reporter for CBS News, and there's video of Pillow flipping out and calling Robert Costa a traitor. There were times when if a business leader behaved this way, their business would be shut down within a month because everybody would say, I'm not going to buy from this guy. But look at the behavior of Pillow. Check this out. Okay, so we actually have a better angle and audio. So this is from Robert Costa actually filming it himself. and Pillow's completely irrational. He seems totally out of his mind. And Trump actually, during his speech, said, Mike Pillow's here. He's so great. And the crowd gave him a standing ovation. This is how the guy was behaving in the hallway.
CBS, Robert Koska is a traitor to the United...
By the way, Koska, I love that.
...States of America. No, you're a traitor. This is old news. You're regurgitating. You care about... Why are you protect a company called Dominion and you attack a company called MyPillow? You're a traitor to our country. You're a disgusting leader. Traitor, 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 traitor. You're disgusting. Disgusting.
What's funny is Costa's really a pretty uncontroversial reporter. He's just a reporter.
Yes, you're one step above Fox, who doesn't talk at all. That's what you guys are. He's asking me about the picture at the White House a year ago. You're disgusting.
By the way, the picture at the White House a year ago where Pillow came out and the zoom in showed that it said like state of emergency on his piece of paper, martial law, something like that. We still haven't really gotten answers to that. And I asked Pillow about it during our interview, and he was pretty evasive. It's hard to find a more deranged guy, more in over his head than Mike Pillow. And Trump actually praised him. And here's just one more clip. This is Phoenix Kid reporter asking Pillow for an example of the election fraud. And Pillow didn't like it and walked away. Here we go.
So what did you think of President Trump's speech tonight?
One of his best ones ever.
And why do you think that is?
Well, because he brought up all the election crimes, the 2020 election crimes, all the stuff that's happening. We got to keep getting the word out. And he told the media how rotten they are, that they never reported anything that's going to help save our country.
What election crimes? I'm not disagreeing. Yes.
Are you serious? Really?
No, I'm saying for people who haven't really heard.
No, they all know. Tell them to go to frankspeech.com, Lindell TV. You can see all the crime right there of the 2020
yeah. election. Thank you.
And then he walks away. Phoenix Kid reporter instantly triggering Mike Pillow there. So it's out of control. After the break, we'll talk about the event next door, AFPAC, the openly white nationalist competitor to CPAC. So let's talk about what's going on with Republican Senator Mitt Romney. I think when it comes to people like Romney, we have to be able to call things what they are and say, compared to this modern Trumpian cult that includes people like Trump, Trump's family, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, these types, compared to them, Mitt Romney seems and feels so comparatively benign. At the same time, he's still a guy that I disagree with politically on a number of different issues. Mitt Romney and I have different economic views, views on taxation, views on social welfare programs, views on foreign policy. And of course, but compared to the completely delusional, weaponized nature of the modern American Trumpian right, he's not nearly as bad. And that doesn't mean we're glorifying Mitt Romney. It just says we're talking about things on a spectrum. He has at least taken like a minor moral stand against the most insane aspects of the Republican Party. He's anti-Trump, etc. And he also mostly voted with the things that Trump wanted, right? Like roughly 80% of the time. It's not 95% of the time, but it's still 80% of the time. And over the weekend, Mitt Romney sort of provided some moral clarity on CNN about Russia, Ukraine, saying it's very clear which side we should be on here. Let's take a listen to Mitt Romney.
Would be done by the UN or by us, but clearly the humanitarian demand may be such that that we will look for a way to allow the mothers and children that are currently being huddled in subway stations to be able to find refuge.
Right.
And look at the people of Poland, how heroic they are, providing the clothing and the housing and the food for these refugees that are pouring into their country, and also in Romania. Look, this is one of the greatest demonstrations of good versus evil that we've seen during our lifetimes. And the demonstration of courage. I mean, look at Vladimir Putin. Here he is in behind this huge table in this big white room. I mean, it looks like a mausoleum where honesty and honor have gone to die. And contrast that with Zelensky, with his courage, with his passion, with his true leadership. This is remarkable, and it's having an impact. And I hope it makes us a better people, and it makes us more committed to the principles of freedom.
So this is the perfect example of differences of opinion with someone who, at least on this issue, has his head modestly on straight versus insanity like Biden stole the election, Hillary should be imprisoned, the vaccines are killing people, all of that sort of stuff. But Romney says Biden has done some really good things putting pressure on Russia, and he also could have done more. That's a reasonable position.
I just want to go back in time a little bit, Senator. Do you think it was a mistake for President Biden to rule out U.S. troops on the ground instead of trying to use what's known as strategic ambiguity to deter Vladimir Putin from invading in the first place?
Well, there really wouldn't have been an ambiguity. We don't have the kind of troop strength and material of war in the region to be a serious threat at that point. Look, the Biden administration has done some things very well and some things not so well. The not so well side is they continued the policy of prior administrations not to provide the defensive weapons that Ukraine needed. That was the mistake. The positive thing was sharing our intelligence with our allies and combining our efforts with our allies. Look, we used to be 40% of the world economy. Today, we're about half of that. And so for us to have the kind of economic clout we used to have back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, we really do need to combine with our allies. And
it's crazy that, like, I don't love Romney and I disagree with him on so much stuff, but he's at least willing to say Biden did some things that were fine and here's things I would have done differently. Whereas you have so many of these Trumpian Republicans now who anything Biden does is by definition bad. Now, then he got into the just absolute hammer fist drops on people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Gozar. He was asked about them and he just called them morons and said that they're sort of like low IQ people. I mean, listen to this. This is wild.
You talked several times during this interview about the world seeing the difference between good and evil. I want to bring that closer to home and talk about something that Congresswoman Liz Cheney tweeted yesterday about sitting Republican House members appearing at a white nationalist gathering. She said, quote, as Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar speak at this white supremacist, anti-Semitic, pro-Putin event, silence by Republican Party leaders is deafening and enabling. All Americans should renounce this garbage and reject the Putin wing of the GOP now. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Liz Cheney was right with that statement, and she's been right for a long time. And I also saw that Ronna McDaniel came out with a statement as well, talking about how repugnant these white nationalists are. Look, there's no place in either political party for this white nationalism or racism. It's simply wrong.
Now, unfortunately, a place has been made in Romney's party for it. Like, I guess he's saying there shouldn't be a place, but there's been a place in it for years now.
As you've indicated, speaking of evil, it's evil as well. And Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar, I don't know them, but I'm reminded of that old line from the Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid movie where one character says, morons, I've got morons on my team. And I have to think anybody that would sit down with white nationalists and speak at their conference was certainly missing a few IQ points.
Wow. Wow. I mean, listen, he's right. He's right. And you can disagree, obviously, with someone's politics or beliefs, but appreciate some of the things that they say or do. And it sort of tells you everything you need to know about the Republican Party, that most of Mitt Romney's utterances today sound sensible. He's still a right winger in the end, but it's such a contrast to the absurdity. I mean, remember his gaffe, I've got binders full of women, which at the time was a gaffe. It's almost quaint now, and I'm not dismissing the fact that it was sort of inherently kind of, you know, the concept of having binders of women. It's all, you could argue it sounds misogynistic and all, but I'm not denying any of that. But compared to what's going on now, even that as a gaffe starts to seem almost quaint. So I'm not saying I want to vote for Romney or anything like that, but the contrast is incredible. And he's right. They have morons in their wings. And unfortunately, Romney is the exception at this point in time. Unfortunately, Marjorie Taylor Greene seems to be more the way that the party is going, and we're going to talk about that next. So there was this competing conference to CPAC over the weekend called AFPAC, the America First. Yeah, the America First Political Action Conference. It is a white nationalist far right conference. Overtly. So you could say, well, isn't CPAC sort of that? CPAC is what's crazy is CPAC is now a radicalized version of what Republicans used to be. AFPAC is a radicalized CPAC. And there were a whole bunch of different white nationalist extremists at the rally and or conference. And Marjorie Taylor Greene was a headline speaker at the event. And she was then rightly criticized, saying, you went to what is almost an out and out Nazi event. It's a white nationalist event. These are some of the absolute worst people right now. And she claims ignorance to all of it. So let's take a look. She said, I was there because I want to speak to young people. Let's listen.
But I'm glad to talk to you about this. I do not know Nick Fuentes. I've never heard him speak. I've never seen a video. I don't know what his views are, so I'm not aligned with anything that may be controversial. What I can tell you is I went to his event last night to address his very large following, because that is it's a very young following, and it's a generation I'm extremely concerned about.
It's a white nationalist.
Excuse me a minute. I'll tell you exactly why I went. I went to talk to them about America First policies, and I talked to them about what...
It's interesting. She says she doesn't know who Nick Fuentes is, and she doesn't know anything about the white nationalist leanings of he and the group, but she knows that these are young people and that there's a bunch of them and that they care about America First. And for having no idea who these people were, you seem to know a lot about it. I spoke here knowing it was a large group of young people engaged in America First policy. Controversies, white nationalism. I don't know anything about that. So I just wanted to speak to them to give them my America First ideas. Absurd. She then put out a written statement where she said, I mean, look at this self-victimization. The Pharisees in the Republican Party may attack me for being willing to break barriers. What a martyr, huh? And speak to a lost generation of young people who are desperate for love and leadership. But I won't abandon these young men and women because I believe we need to do better by them. I won't cancel others if the conservative movement, even if I find some of their statements tasteless. Marge, it's a white nationalist event. I encourage them to seek wisdom and apologize to those who have been hurt by their words, or as I've had to do. Our faith calls for charity and forgiveness. And then she just goes completely insane. I'll keep fighting against identity politics and Marxism. What Marxism are you fighting against? I'll keep speaking out and speaking up. Our nation is only capable of protecting sovereignty. And then pulling out this insane statement. The atheist media demands no disavowal from left-wing politicians who hang out with jihadis and abortionists, but they demand immediate disavowals of any Republican willing to speak to 1,200 people gathered to declare that Christ is king and brand them in headlines exclusively by their sins. Just as a little sampling of what there was at this AFPAC event, just before bringing on Marjorie Taylor Greene, there was Nick Fuentes saying that their secret sauce is young white men. And then everybody started chanting Putin, Putin.
And you want to know the secret? To borrow a phrase from a friend of mine, our secret sauce here, it's these young white men. Yeah! That's what we call the secret ingredient. America and the world has forgotten about them, but not us.
I don't think anybody's forgotten about young white men.
Say about America, they say, diversity is our strength, you know? And I look at China and I look at Russia. Who can we give a round of applause for Russia? Yes. Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So then Marjorie Taylor Greene spoke, and the rest is sort of history. These are really dangerous movements, and there's levels, right? There's concentric circles. It's like, okay, you've got the entire right wing. Like, well, all right, well, that's a pretty big range. You've got absolute lunatic, murderous extremists, and you've got people where I disagree with them about what the top tax rate should be. Okay. All right. But then you've got to find within that, you've got the Trumps, the Trumpians, and then you've got the CPAC Trumpians, and then you've got people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, and then you've got, so there's these concentric circles, and unfortunately, it can all spread outward and infect the entire movement, and that's how you end up with more than half believing Joe Biden didn't really win the 2020 election. We have a voicemail number, which is 2192-DAVID-P. Here's a caller asking, why isn't my show about video games?
Hey, I'm a big fan of the show. Yeah. When I heard that there was a David Pakman doing a podcast, I was hoping that you would be talking about Ms. Pac-Man patterns or Pac-Man patterns.
Right.
Or Ms. Pac-Man strategies. I can't imagine having the name Pac-Man and not, you know, making it a basic part of your identity.
Sure.
Maybe, you know, I love your show and what you're doing with it, but maybe talk about Pac-Man a little bit. Mm. I don't know. All right, thank you.
Yeah, no, that's certainly an idea. The entire show could be about the video game Pac-Man. You know, growing up, it's actually good that now there's a generational change where people aren't aware of this as much. When I was between 10 and 18, anytime anybody would see my last name, it was, oh, did your dad invent the video game? It's like, and I started saying yes. But it's sort of started to fade away a little bit now. Because I guess the game's just not that popular or something. But I guess worst comes to worst, I can always turn this show into a video game show if news and politics doesn't work. It's good to know it's a possibility. We have such a packed bonus show for you today. There are Russians protesting the invasion of Ukraine, and they're protesting it in Russia. And hundreds have gotten arrested. Hundreds of people arrested just for protesting in Russia. FIFA is not yet ready to ban Russia from the upcoming World Cup in Qatar, but they have decided that the Russian team will not be allowed to use the Russian flag, and they will not be allowed to play the Russian national anthem as punishment for the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Does this make sense or does it not make sense? We're going to talk about that. And RT Television, Russian state media around the world. They exist in Canada, the U.S., etc. RT has been demonetized in the United States. RT is getting removed from a Canadian cable system. Our friend Farron Cousins and Mike Papantonio have pulled their show from RT. What is next for RT? We're going to talk about that on today's bonus show as well. I would love for you to become a member at joinpacman.com. We are experiencing a bunch of people. They're kind of like in the Tulsi alt-left, Glenn Greenwald wing of the left, if you believe that those people are on the left. They're coming after us hard. And they've been canceling memberships. Some of them actually used to support our show. And because I've said this alt-left stuff is bad, it's really, really bad, they've started to cancel memberships and they're trying to hurt us financially. And that's okay. I don't want their money. I don't. But I would love it if you came in and said, David, I actually appreciate what you're doing on the Ukraine-Russia issue. Sign up at joinpacman.com. It's really cheap. And you'll also get access to an extra show every day called The Bonus Show. Alex Jones hates The Bonus Show.
Oh, The Bonus Show, where you want to make money. But everybody else that makes money to fund themselves is bad.
Yeah. You'll also get The Daily Show commercial-free 6 hours before everybody else. So sign up at joinpacman.com. We'll see you on the bonus show. Tomorrow we'll have a new show, a new bonus show, and I will be live for Joe Biden's State of the Union.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call, jazz.
Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-syllable word.
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
For those-
those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call, jazz.
Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a once and more.
RCT in sound from way out.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
My fellow Americans, I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Technoland? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call, jazz.
Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a once and more.
Ukraine has entered its sixth day as a 40-mile Russian military convoy heads toward Kiev while Russia bombs Ukraine's second-largest city. We'll go to Kiev to speak with a Ukrainian peace activist. Then a 500,000 civilians have fled Ukraine.
It is so scary. You don't know what will happen. A bomb can fall at any minute, and there's nothing you can do. All day, the air raid sirens go off in all the towns. It's very scary.
Plus, we look at the roots of the crisis in Ukraine with Andrew Coburn of Harper's Magazine and Yale University professor Timothy Snyder. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Ukraine's government has accused Russia of war crimes for deliberately targeting civilians during its invasion of Ukraine. New satellite photos show a massive 40-mile convoy of Russian tanks and armored vehicles stretching from the Russian border to the outskirts of Ukraine's capital, Kiev. Ukrainian officials say troops from Belarus have joined Russia's invasion. Elsewhere, Russia's military has begun shelling residential areas of Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city. Today, a Russian missile struck Kharkiv's local government building, leaving a massive crater in the city center known as Freedom Square. Another Russian assault on Monday destroyed a children's clothing factory in Kharkiv.
This is a residential area with no military objects, and people lived very close to this building where the missile hit.
Human rights groups say Russia's used thermobaric weapons in its assault. These so-called vacuum bombs are the most powerful non-nuclear explosives used in warfare. Meanwhile, Human Rights Watch documented a Russian cluster bomb attack on a hospital in eastern Ukraine that killed 4 civilians, injured another 10. A United Nations treaty banning the use of cluster munitions has been signed by over 100 nations, although Russia, Ukraine, and the United States have refused to sign on to the prohibition. On Monday, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky accused Russia of war crimes for deliberately targeting civilians. He spoke after Russian and Ukrainian officials met on the Belarusian border to discuss a possible ceasefire. Those talks failed.
These talks took place while our territory, our cities were being bombed and shelled. We could see the synchronization of the shelling with the negotiation process. I believe that in this unsophisticated way, Russia is trying to apply pressure. Don't waste our time. We do not accept such tactics.
Earlier today, President Zelensky addressed the European Parliament by video link. On Monday, he called on the European Union to grant Ukraine immediate membership to the 27-nation bloc. At The Hague, a prosecutor for the International Criminal Court said Monday he'll launch an investigation into possible war crimes or crimes against humanity committed by Russia in Ukraine. At the United Nations, the General Assembly began an emergency session Monday to debate a draft resolution calling on Russia to end its military campaign. This is UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
Yesterday, Russian nuclear forces were put on high alert. This is a chilling development. The mere idea of a nuclear conflict is simply inconceivable. Nothing can justify the use of nuclear weapons.
The oil and gas giant Shell said Monday it'll exit its joint ventures with Russia's state-owned energy company Gazprom. Shell has about $3 billion invested in Russian operations. This follows a similar move by BP to offload its Russian operations as other oil companies, including